Together we will now say the Psalms responsive reading, Psalms 116, found on page 837 and 38. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and my supplications and has inclined his ear to me whenever I called.
The snares of death encompassed me.
The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. And then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, the Lord saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my consternation, all humans are of vain hope.
What shall I return to the Lord for all my benefits? Salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Our second reading from the Bible comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 2, verse 14a, and then following verse 36 through 41. You can find it in the Pew Bible there in front of you, I hope, on page 111 in the New Testament. So pull that out and follow along. It struck me as we were talking Thursday to the Bible study group, it's important to think that this speech by Peter took place on the day of Pentecost. We don't highlight Pentecost, but think about what happened then, and perhaps it'll mean a little bit more. Acts 2, verses 14a, 36 through 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God called to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 17 through 24 that can be found on your Pew Bible on page 218. Hear these words. If you invoke as the Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of all the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. May God add his blessing to the hearing of the scripture.
Let us together turn to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. You can find it on page 84 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. And if you're looking at the pew Bible, you'll see that it has a subtitle called The Walk to Emmaus. Just as the other reading, it was important to think about it happening on the same day of Pentecost. This reading, in fact, happens the same day of Easter. So hear this, what may be for many of you a familiar story. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. While he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to switch gears a bit and tell you a story. When I think back a long time ago, if you ask my son Zach, it was in another age, when I was a kid in elementary school, I have wonderful memories of a kids' magazine called Highlights for Children. It was so cool that I had a subscription to Highlights. This was my first ever magazine subscription. And every month, the postman would bring it to our box at our house. Have you ever heard of Highlights magazine? I saw some of you nodding. You have. Very good. Well, I checked on the internet, and it's still published in Columbus, Ohio, my hometown, these 47 years later. Well, my very favorite part of Highlights magazine was a feature called Hidden Pictures. Every month there was the Hidden Pictures page. It was a large black and white drawing. It took up the whole page of some scene. It really didn't matter. Sometimes it was specific to the season. But hidden all over that drawing scene were smaller images that you were supposed to find. You've probably seen something like this before. Those who know Highlights know this page. Anyway, I was always delighted when I could find those little hidden pictures. Now, those little images were right there in front of my eyes, but it always challenged me to see them. I had to work at it. Well, now in my fifth decade of life, I have a new game to play that is not so very different from the hidden pictures, in Highlights magazine. Now, often I will walk into a room with an attitude of determination just like this, and I will walk up to Jane and I will say, "Have you seen my reading glasses?" Or, to add insult to injury, I will do this. I'll say, "Jane, did you put my reading glasses somewhere?" Have you ever played this game at your house? Yeah, we play it all the time. Well, some people refer to this phenomenon as hidden in plain sight. When I discover something like this that has been right in front of my eyes, literally, I think of another expression, a blinding flash of the obvious. You ever heard that one? It always happens to me, a blinding flash of the obvious. Well, can you understand why these stories came to my mind this week after reading the story of the walk to Emmaus? This tale from Luke is a wonderful part of the resurrection story. It's mentioned in only one other gospel, and it's described only at length in the Gospel of Luke. And one of the elements about this story that strikes me, that's fascinating to me, is the mystery of what's going on between Jesus and those other two disciples. Cleopas and that other disciple who's never named. In their version of Hidden Pictures, they didn't recognize Jesus at first. Now, the mystery is this. Was this something that Jesus was doing, or was it the fault of the two human followers? Who was to blame? Well, Scripture says, you heard it in the story, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. That's the words that the Bible uses. Now, maybe this was just another of Jesus' tricks. Now that he had this new spiritual resurrection body. You remember we discussed this last week? Jesus could move through locked doors. He did it in the upper room. So maybe he was able to disguise himself so well that his own followers didn't even recognize him. That might be what happened. Or maybe Cleopas and the other guy were so focused on their own sadness and grief at having lost Jesus that they were just not capable of seeing who he really was. Have you ever been so focused on what you're doing that you didn't see what was going on around you? Maybe these two disciples were so confounded over the strange story that they had heard that the women tell when they went to the tomb that morning. Maybe they were so confused that even when they saw Jesus hidden in plain sight, they couldn't recognize him. That might be what happened. What do you think? Can you put yourselves in the sandals of Cleopas and that other apostle on that road? Well, I believe that the real explanation must maybe lie somewhere between those two extremes. I believe that Jesus chooses when and where and to whom he will reveal himself. In this story, just as in our walk with Jesus, the revelation occurs through Scripture and also through Holy Communion, through the sacrament. Think about it. Remember from this story that Jesus was walking along with the other two. Then, beginning with Moses, Scripture says, with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the Scriptures. And then later, after they had recognized Jesus, they thought back to earlier that day. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the Scriptures to us? And clearly, when they sit at table together, when Jesus breaks the bread with these two, we hear that very familiar language that we hear every month that should remind us of the Last Supper and of Holy Communion. When he was at the table with them, he broke bread. He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and he vanished from their sight. Jesus revealed himself through the Scriptures and through the sacrament of Holy Communion. And at that point, the eyes of his followers were finally opened and they saw Jesus, truly saw Jesus. But you know what? That makes me wonder. How often do we look right into the face of Jesus and not recognize him? Have you seen Jesus in plain sight recently, but not even recognized who he was? When you look into the eyes of your mother or your wife or your husband, the eyes of your partner or your children or your friends, do you see the eyes of Jesus looking back at you? When you look at the faces of the homeless or the hungry or the helpless people of our world, do you see there the face of Jesus? Jesus chooses when and where and to whom he will reveal himself. That's why it's called a revelation. But Jesus reliably reveals himself when you read the Holy Bible or when you partake of the sacrament of communion. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus will reveal himself in places and at times and through people when you least expect it, if, as Jesus says, you only have eyes to see. My brothers and sisters, it is very clear. Jesus is walking with you on the road to Emmaus, and on the road to wherever your life is taking you. Jesus is walking with you every step of the way. Open your eyes. It's time to pay attention to the revelation. Their eyes were opened. Amen.